So, good morning. Good to see everyone here. Good to be here. Amen. Let's pause and pray for just a minute. Is that all right? Let's pray for all the stuff going on up there in Virginia and all these crazy folks. And I just feel in my heart we need to do that right now. So let's do it. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we do live in America. We have the freedoms that was paid, the price of blood of soldiers and sailors and Marines a long time ago. Father, I just pray for the situation going on in our country, Lord. There's always been evil, and there will always be evil until you crack the clouds and come back and get us, and we all go to heaven, and you make this a new world. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters up in these areas where crazy stuff's going on. And Lord, we just lift them up, lay them at the foot of the cross, and ask for your safety. I pray, Lord, your will be done in all those situations with all the powers to be that are trying to fix this. Lord, just give them peace, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, so starting last week, I mentioned that we're going to be for a few weeks. I'm not sure how long, but we're gonna talk about doctrine, sound doctrine, Christian doctrine, theology. We'll get into that a little bit later. But this morning, we're going to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, and it can be a little confusing for some folks, and probably for most all of us, but. We're gonna break it down a little bit and see what the Word of God says. The doctrine of the Trinity starts out with who is God? Who is God? So I have a little two or three minute video that Gary's gonna load up and show for us. It's someone who put this little video together and brings out some attributes of God from the Word of God. I just think it's interesting. I think you'll find it interesting. So we're gonna start out there. So Gary, amen. Thought you'd enjoy that. Jesus used the amphitheater. Jesus stood in a boat, and those were the most advanced ways to communicate to God's people during that time. So I think we should also use things that can promote the gospel, like video or media, social media, these things that proclaim the gospel around the world. All right, so we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. It's just one verse, so if you want to follow along, you can. If not, I'm just going to read it. But first, before we go, let's pray for God's word to be preached this morning. Father, we give you this morning, I give you this word. Lord, you've helped me prepare this, Lord. I ask you to prepare the hearts to receive this, Lord, that we can know a little bit more about you and the Trinity, and the precious Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I bless this word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. Let's read. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. Amen. And this morning, the doctrine that we're going to be talking about briefly, we're not going to go into a deep study, but we're going to briefly cover it's the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, who is God? The only way to answer that is to study the Bible, the living Word of God, right? Amen. The purpose of studying doctrine or theology is to put backbone into our beliefs. You see, the word theology is the composite of two Greek words. Okay, theos, which means God. Okay, and then logos, which means written word. So if you put these two together, it basically means the study of God's word and really in a disciplined way. Okay, in this message, we're going to study the character of the Godhead. In other words, the Trinity, it relates to God's unity. And you'll hear me say a lot this morning that God is one. Okay, the Trinity of God is a biblical doctrine that is the fundamental truth in the Christian faith. Okay. Who is God? Now, man has asked this question from the beginning of time. Okay, Pharaoh. Let's look at old Pharaoh, the Egyptian pagan. He asked Moses, he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Who is this? Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian pagan, said a similar thing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, "Who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands?" And when you really study this, the funny part about this is that, well, God answered those questions personally, didn't he? He really did. He answered them personally. He punished Pharaoh with the plagues, and then he shut Nebuchadnezzar's mouth up by protecting the Jewish boys there in the fiery furnace. So really, God just showed up and showed out, and he, you know. So God really, as the video said, God really is the Almighty. We talk about the Trinity. He's the Almighty. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am. He is the creator of everything. He's the sustainer. He's our redeemer and the judge of all things and of all men. Amen? He is. Who is the Lord? Who is the God? The Bible answers those things. The Bible, from the beginning to the end, it answers those things with many, many, many passages. We're going to look at the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you can study these many. You study Deuteronomy, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Psalms, Isaiah, Zechariah, Mark, John, Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Timothy. They all speak into the Trinity. They all talk about the singularity of God. That He is one God. God is one divine spirit, which is not divided in any way. Even though there are three divine persons, He is indivisible. Now, before we get into this doctrine, we're going to talk about some false doctrines, kind of like we did last week. We've got to know the enemy and the lies of the enemy so that we won't get ambushed or bamboozled with this false doctrine of the Trinity. Okay? Now, the first false doctrine is what they call an atheistic view. Like an atheist. An atheist believes that there is no God. There is no gods at all. Now, in studying this, I came across this saying from a college professor. Now, listen to this. This is interesting. So if you're ever talking to an atheist, because they're out there. They're out there big time. Even in South Georgia now, they're out there. Listen to this. I posted this on Facebook if you're interested, but this, I've never heard this before, so here we go, right? An atheist cannot say he knows there is no God because he would have to know all things in order to know if there is or isn't a God. That's interesting, isn't it? It really is. You think about that one. Okay? So atheist. So the next false belief or lie about the Trinity, about God, is the agnostic view. An agnostic. This holds that the existence or nature of God are unknown or unknowable. In other words, an agnostic, maybe, maybe not, I don't know, we can't really know for sure. They're just an atheist in disguise, really, if you think about it, you know. All right, the next false belief is the polytheistic view. Polytheistic. Not trying to impress you with these big words. I can't spell most of them, but You know, and Lynn, it's funny, I was practicing them trying to get the right pronunciations, you know, but the polytheistic view. And it's important that we understand this as Christians, and so that we have our doctrine foundation solid as a follower of Christ. So the polytheistic view holds that there are many gods. Many gods. In India, they say that there's over a million gods. That's crazy, isn't it? One time I had a conversation with Dr. Livingston Masalam in Valdosta. He's a psychiatrist. And he's from India, grew up in India. And he loves Jesus. He's a born-again Christian, Baptist, goes to Perimeter Road Baptist Church, and I guess he still goes there. I hadn't talked to him in a while, but, you know, solid Christian believer, and he was the head of psychiatry at Greenleaf. He and I used to have many conversations about this, and I remember him telling me that in India, there's so many gods that they want to serve all the gods. So if a Christian, say a Christian evangelist, went in there and they had 1,000 people and they gave an altar call to come and give their life to Jesus, like almost everybody would just flood the altars because they want to give their life to Jesus. And then a week later, you know, Shakyamuni came through, you know, with his, you know, whatever his God was, and he gave an altar call. The same guys would come down and give their life to Shakyamuni. I'm just making up something. I can't, you know. Because they want to give their life to this God. So, you know, and these super evangelists, you know, they'll record that. Well, 1,000 people come down, you know, give me your money. But he was saying you have to be real careful in India. He said the verse that's not very popular there is when Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. And said, when you do an altar call like that, you might get one or two or three or four or ten. He said, but you know, you have to be real careful with that. So polytheistic view, there are many gods. All right, so the next false belief in studying the Trinity is the dualistic view. The dualistic view. And this assumes, and this one gets on my nerves, it used to be back in the 90s, is that this assumes that there are two distinct beings or eternal realities that are always competing or opposing each other. Everybody got it? It's like, you know, God on this side and the devil on this side. And they're, you know, they're battling it out. Phew, that is so far from the truth of reality. Not even at all. And I don't mean to dog out Carmen. Anybody remember Carmen came on the scene back in the 90s? Yeah, he had some cool music. The kids were getting into it. But I remember he had a very famous play, a skit, where it was the devil on one side and Jesus on the other, and they were duking it out on stage. And I hated that. I did not like that at all because that is so far from reality. Jesus and the devil don't duke it out and battle it out. And our Mormon friends, that's what they believe. They believe that Jesus and the devil were brothers in heaven, and they duked it out and had a little disagreement and fought it out, and Jesus won, and the devil was cast down to earth, and this is going to be his planet. And, you know, it gets way in deep into that. Those are false beliefs. Those are false doctrines, you know. The next one is the pantheistic view, and this believes that God is in everything. God is everything. He is all, you know, he is everything, and everything is God. You got to watch this one because it's tricky. Because, you know, you can smell a rose and go, oh, that's God. A beautiful sunrise, that's God. A nice walk on the beach at night, the moon, the stars, and that's God. Is it God? Technically, no. God's behind all that, right? God created all that. But do we never, ever want to get into worshiping the creation? We want to worship the Creator. Yes, a rose is beautiful and smells good. A walk on the beach is awesome and it's beautiful and it's serene and it's peaceful and catching a big bass and Anyway, I'm going to get there. But right? It's awesome. But we want to be careful and not be bamboozled. That's not God. And the last one is the deistic. How do you say it? Paul might want to help me with this one. Deistic. Anyway, whatever. It's about deism. Okay, the deistic view. Excuse me if I got that wrong. But basically it's deism. And basically what it means is that these folks who believe that there is a greater creator out there. He's a greater creator, and he made earth, and he created earth, and then he kind of went off on a cosmic fishing trip and left it to be what it's going to be and doesn't really care too much about it. And good luck to you. No need to pray because he's not interested in your prayers. He doesn't really answer prayers anymore. He just kind of set it up. And there you go. Man. Doesn't the Bible teach? Some of you right now in your Word of God are just flying through your mind. How false that is, you know. How God loves us and he has the hairs on our head numbered, you know. So that's definitely. So those are some false beliefs, some lies that you don't want to get caught up in trying to understand the Trinity, who God really is, you know. Now, the video spoke into a lot of attributes of God. It was taken out of the Word and kind of made into a cool video with some pictures. And I thought that was nice. But let's look at four attributes of God this morning. Four attributes. I had good intentions to make a cool little study note thing for you to fill in the blank, and I didn't have time. I really didn't. Lynn said, "You did that on your vacation, remember? You had all that time." I was like, "Yeah, I know." So I just literally ran out of time, guys. And maybe in the future we can organize the word. Anybody like that kind of fill in the blanks? And some people like it, some people don't. If you like it, raise your hand. Okay. If you don't like it, raise your hand. If you don't care, raise your hand. Okay. I'm here to serve. All right. So, four attributes of God. The first one. Is God is spirit. He is a spirit. And the Word of God said what? He said God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. It's spirit and truth. Some theologians tell us that there's no subatomic structure to God. There's no parts. He is spirit. Okay? Now, the second one ties into this. God is a person. Okay, it says one of the greatest facts about God is the fact that He is not just a spirit, but He is also a person. He has feelings. He wants to communicate with us just like we want to communicate with the people that we love. God desires to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with us in His Word, which is the living Word of God. He wants to spend time with us in prayer. He wants to that fellowship and that relationship to build and grow. We become more like Him and more like Him. That's why Paul said in the Bible, he said he prayed above all things. That we would grow in our knowledge of Christ and His resurrection. Okay, second one. God is a person. Okay, got that one? God is one. He is not only spirit, but He is a person, but He is one. Like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says this, I'll read it. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and all thy might, that He is one." Now, here we go. Ready? God is a triune being. And for some folks, this is very hard to get. But He's triune. Okay, let's talk about a couple of false doctrines there. There's one called tritheism. And this is where the Trinity consists of three separate but cooperating gods. It's like God's up here and there's three totally different gods who do all these different things. That's not true. Okay, that's not the triune God that we serve. The other is what's called modelism. Okay, modelism. And that means that God's free and there's three separate persons free to go about and do. And we know that that's really not true. And I'll give you an example of that. It's kind of, we had old Mr. McGillicuddy up here. Mr. McGillicuddy could be a husband to his wife. He could be a father to his children. And he could be, say he's a teacher. He could be a teacher to his students. And that's really not a good example either to use. Because see, he could leave his wife, couldn't he? And the Bible, God said he'd never leave us. And see, he could abandon his children. Same thing. God said he would not ever leave us and forsake us. That forsake means to disown. Okay, so that's not a good example. Okay, now, here's a couple of examples to talk about the Trinity. There's a couple good and a couple bad. One, has anybody ever heard of the three-leaf clover? Explain the Trinity. Okay, the three-leaf clover, a little way. Some people do that. It's got three-leaf clovers, and it says, and all three leaves are able to get nourishment from the same stem. That's just not a good example. Don't use that one, because each leaf could be separated, see? Anybody ever use the water one? You know, water is liquid, you know, solid, steam. Don't ever use that one. That's not a very good one, okay? That's a poor illustration of the Trinity because each one can go in separate directions and never come back, that kind of thing. The eggshell, I used to use that one years ago. How do you explain the Trinity? Use the eggshell. You know, egg, the shell, the white, the yolk. Don't use that one. It's not a very good example either. Okay, because they can separate and one can, you know, you've got scrambled eggs over here without the yolk and you got the shell and all that. And it can separate. Okay. Now, let's look at a couple examples that might be okay. You can look at, say, this book. Okay, it has width, you know, the width, depth. It's three different angles. This is how thick it is, it's how long it is, and it's how wide it is. That might be a good example of a way to explain the Trinity. Okay, it's three different things, but it's still a book, and you can't separate it. If you separate it, it's just not a book anymore, so it can't be separated. Anyway, and the triangle might be a good example. The triangle, the Trinity, explaining the Trinity of God. It has three sides. It'll always have three sides. It can't separate. If it does, it's just not a triangle anymore. So that might be a good example. Anyway, so let's look at the Father. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All right, John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here we're talking about the Father is God. Romans chapter 1, verse 7 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so let's go on. The Son is also God. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now listen to this. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It's talking about Jesus here. So Jesus, the Son, is God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One more. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there, that's just three examples. The Bible is full of examples of how Jesus is God. The Father is God. All right, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Acts 5:3-4. It says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control?" All right, here we go. Ready? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. See, the Holy Spirit is God. Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Again, more scripture. We could find tons of scripture to say that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Father is God, and they are all what? One. Okay? Now, when we study the Holy Trinity, we always want to remember this, and I'll close with this right here. In John 14:1-11, this is what Jesus said, and I'm just going to read it to you, so y'all listen up. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled," and this is Jesus talking, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" This is when Jesus said that, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now listen to this. This is Jesus saying, he's getting a little frustrated with him here, I can tell. He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father." Now, Philip was a knuckle brain. Did you see that right there? That's the way I see it. I bet Jesus would go, "Philip, anybody home?" And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient with us." He's like, "Okay, if you just show us, we'll believe. We'll be good to go." And Jesus just said, you know, what he just said. And Jesus said it again. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long?" In other words, "I've been with you all this time. Haven't you been paying attention?" I go into the scripture. It says, "And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." Jesus says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." To me, that's the best scripture in the Word to really hammer home the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And my prayer for you through this doctrinal study that can be a little non-fiery, if that's a word. I don't think it is. It's a country word from Cook County. Non-fiery. But when we really get into study of the doctrine, it really solidifies our faith and gives us something strong to stand on. Because, guys, I believe we're in the last days. Every preacher, every person says that I know from time of the book of Acts, probably. But I really do believe that we're in the time, the last days. And we need to be solid. As Brother Bob gave me the Pauline Baptist Constitution bylaws, and I've read it several times and been studying it, looking at it, and I thank him for doing that. And also on our website, it lists our doctrinal beliefs. So that's kind of what started this. And really, I'm just going to touch on the doctrinal beliefs that is actually on our website that Derry put on there. So I hope you guys get something from it. Let's close in prayer and song of invitation. If you're here today and you've never met the Father, you've never met the Holy Spirit, you've never met Jesus, and you would like to give your heart to Him, when they begin to pray, I ask that you come down and pray with me. And I'd love to pray with you. So if you're here this morning, you've never made that decision, please do so today. Amen.